This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead story says we are near the end of week 7 of the national lockdown. Americans appear to be cool about tracking apps, or are they? Zoom, if you've been doing Zoom meetings, their daily user base has been slightly exaggerated. Apple has a record second quarter. Amazon has a record second quarter. Yet 30 million Americans are unemployed. I want to welcome you to episode 1443 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We are live at live.geeknewscentral.com, geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. We're on Twitter. Just about everywhere you can consider, even YouTube TV. I want to give you a warm welcome. Everyone that's brand new to the show, a warm, warm welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here. And if you're a longtime listener, just, you know, again, thanks for being part of our family. Thanks for staying subscribed. But if you are a new listener, we really want you to take just a few moments. Doesn't take very long. Go over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You'll find that information on the right-hand column of the website. You'll find a place there to subscribe to the newsletter as well. Get signed up for that. That's going to contain everything I talk about during the show. I'll send you an email that'll arrive in your inbox, be available for you to review the next morning, and remind you that there's a show, and you'll have all the show notes of everything that I talk about during the podcast. So subscribe to the podcast when you're on the website. And of course, most importantly, you can listen to this show at blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by using the magic word to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room. We've got a Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat. It's a lot of fun. Come over and hang out, do some chit-chat, or join our Discord server. Our Discord server is available. Link is available via the Geek News Central website and every single show notes. Of course, we have a Slack channel as well. If you want to join our Slack channel, you can do that. All you got to do is send me an email. And that's the beauty here. That's how you stay connected with this show, is email me at geeknews@gmail.com and say, Todd, I want to be part of the Slack family. For the Geekness Central podcast, we'll get you added to the Slack channel. Or if you have a comment about today's show and all the controversial and cool things we're going to talk about, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm available on Twitter at geeknews as well. You can follow me on Facebook. Just search for my name, Todd Cochran. Of course, all my partner shows, they're all linked to geeknewscentral.com. That includes GNC Week in Review by Mr. Kirk Corliss, the Gadget Professor with Dr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team, the new media show hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, the now extinct Podfaded Podcast Legends show, and of course, the Podcast Insider show that I do at Blueberry, the podcastinsider.com. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. For those of you who don't know what Ohana means, this show originated out of Hawaii and did the show there for 14 years. Having left Hawaii in June of last year, now I'm in Southern Michigan, so we still call it Ohana gear. Ohana means family. So check that out at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Definitely check out all the deals. Again, this is real easy to save money. The key is saving money right now, right? Budget's tight. You've been laid off. You want to start something new? Want to start a second career? Want to start a recession-proof or pandemic-proof business? Get all my GoDaddy promo codes. They're very, very popular. 30% off new product purchases, $499.com for new or transferred for new customers only. $1 a month, economy hosting for the first year. $1 a month, economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain, yes. And $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for, again, for the first year, with a free domain. So you cannot beat this deal. $849 is the normal retail price of a .com. And I'm giving you $12, get you 1 month, one year of WordPress hosting or economy hosting. And basically, you can't beat this deal. $3.50 is essentially what it costs you for the website if you had bought the domain just straight out. Okay, now you can get that $4.99 deal, but that's a one-time use code. So again, check out my GoDaddy promo codes, geekmecenter.com/GoDaddy. We do have the website builder there for those of you that have a business. Free trial of a GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. You get a 1 month free trial. All my codes, either copy them on the website or click them. Click them is the easiest way to lock in savings today so that you won't miss out and make sure you lock in the savings. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And thank you for your ongoing support. Share the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't write it on the bathroom wall. You're inside. You're still inside. Many of us are at lockdown. You have nothing else to do besides a little work and watching the Bloob Tube. So take this weekend, build yourself a website, courtesy of me, get you started for $12 for the first year. What do you have to lose? It's a good time to get online, and we hope that, again, use GoDaddy, and thank you for GoDaddy being the sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, so let's talk just a few minutes. To be honest with you, I would prefer just of today, at the end of today, just to have got in my car, drove to the loft, and face planted. It's been, I would say, this is the busiest week I've had, in a while. Probably since lockdown, and that's hard to say. Last night was a late evening. The night before was a late evening. Today, I could have probably sat at my desk and worked until midnight, no problem, and not been caught up. So, and part of it has been a couple of things, but I'm definitely going to have to work Saturday. I'm going to do the new media show, but I'll be here early, and I'm going to stay late. And I got a bunch of paperwork to get squared around for my team for basically our summer project list. So I got to get all that organized. Customers' information just continues to go on. But Wednesday, we had a marathon 3.5-hour Zoom meeting with our board, kind of getting through all the priorities that we're going to do for really the next 3 to 4 months. And then today, I had a 2-hour basically a team meeting with my, and it's on Facebook. For those of you that are on my Facebook page, you can see it right now, but let me show you this image. And it just shows my entire team that's on the call. So we had myself, Mike, Dave, Jeff, Barry, Aaron, Mackenzie, Ben, Lena, Brian, Sean, Grant, Kathy, Jonathan, Vernon, Aaron, we had Angelo, Jeff, and Adam. So I think got them all right. So it was, man, I'm telling you, it was a good day of feedback. And it's a lot of the stuff that they said during the meeting, some stuff we were going to change, some stuff we're going to do. So came off that meeting, had another meeting, and I didn't have lunch. There was no time for lunch today. So I ran out at about 5, grabbed some food, and nothing healthy, of course. Came back here, wolfed that down. Kirk had the show notes ready, or show prep done, and here I am. I'm early tonight doing the show, about 30 minutes early from starting to do the live show. But interviews galore, a podcasting space is... Everyone's doing a second show. Businesses are jumping in. You know, there's talking to a lot of exasperated business owners. We're preparing product launches at the company. So I'm just like, really? It's good to be. I'm not complaining, but it's been busy. So, at some point in the future, I'm going to need some vacation. I really am. At some point, in the near future. Holy cow. Or maybe just a break for a few days doing content. I don't know. We just got to find a place. But yeah, welcome to episode 1443. And I hope you're all doing well. Hope you're staying safe. Some of you starting to come out of shelter in place. We're in it for the long haul. I got a governor that's not going to shut things down. She's done decided to do what she's going to do. No matter how many protests happen at the state capitol. I think there was one today, and the news was all covering it because people were walking in the capitol with guns. Well, Michigan is a state where you can carry open or you can conceal carry. So some people in other states where that's not a thing, we're all, you know, all freaking out, talking about it, and it's all over social media, and I'm here working. Socially isolated. I have to keep the employees going and keep our customers satisfied. But on a second note, my writing team, they've been busy at Geek News Central and putting up great content, and of course in a mix with my podcast stuff. So definitely make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com to check out all the great content that's over there. So talking about some stuff from Google and tips and Facebook introducing messenger rooms and stuff about a Starship self-driving robots delivering food and on and on and on. We even got some reviews on some phones. So that's up on the website as well. So let me get into the regular stack of stuff today. And I got a few comments that come in via email. We'll read those at the end of the show, talking about some of the things going on with these apps. And there's mixed messages. And again, all kinds of information about what Americans think about having a tracking app track you for contact with other people that may or may not get coronavirus. Accordingly, in a new study, more than half of the respondents said they would use an app to let people know they had COVID-19. So Apple and Google released the initial version of the API that represents the first phase of the joint effort to enable public health authorities to quickly identify people who may have been exposed to new cases. By mid-May, it should be available to most health agencies, so it's time to revisit a question that's been asked. So that question posed in a new survey done by the University of Maryland and the Washington Post, the findings are mixed. Nearly 3 in 5 Americans said they are unable or unwilling to use infectious alert system, suggesting it will be difficult to persuade enough people to use the app. Among the 82% of Americans who do have smartphones, willingness to use an infection tracing app is split evenly, with 50% saying they definitely or probably would use such an app, and an equal percentage saying probably or definitely would not. Willingness to run the app runs the highest amongst Democrats and people reporting they're worried about COVID-19 infections, making them seriously ill. Resistance is higher among Republicans and people who report a lower level of personal worry about getting the virus. The second thing to say is that if 50% of Americans did participate in the Apple-Google scheme, some people are saying that would be a huge win, huge tracking. This is a great way to find out what's going on with Americans and who they're coming into contact with. Now, only 25,000 people in North Dakota, about 3% of the population, have downloaded the state's app, which before last week was available only for iPhones. Last month, Singapore introduced a voluntary contact tracing app, but only about 1.1 million, or 20% of the population, have downloaded it. Norway's app has caught on quickly, with more than 30% of the residents signing up for it since it was released a week and a half ago. So a recent study by epidemiologists at Oxford University estimated that 60% of the population in a given area would need to use a smartphone app that traces contacts and notifies users of exposure, combined with other tactics such as broader testing and, again, quarantining the most vulnerable people for the app that contain the virus. So this goes on and on and on. Now, if I switch over here to an Android Central, now, they twist the numbers a little bit different. And their headlines are different. So this is now, this is the article headline. Same study. Here's what The Verge said. Americans are surprisingly open to letting their phones be used for coronavirus tracking. Now, if we switch and read the other headline from Android Central, same exact information. U.S. poll suggests Americans sharply divided on the use of contact tracing apps. Same exact study, my friends. Two different publishing groups. So, here again, Americans are surprisingly open to letting their phones be used for coronavirus tracking by The Verge. And U.S. poll suggests Americans sharply divided on use of contact tracing. Now, I bet you $10. I bet you $10 that Casey Newton is the person that wrote this for The Verge. Bet you $10. Bet you $10. And we're just, hey, we're going to play politics here a little bit based upon this poll results. I bet you $10 that Casey is a Democrat. And I look over here on the Android Central. Can I tell who wrote this app? Who wrote this article? Do they say who wrote it? Is Android Central? Oh, it's done by Stephen Warwick of Android Central. Make sure these weren't the two of the same people. That would be funny. No, so on Android Central, I bet you Stephen Warwick is a Republican. Now, I'm just guessing based on title of the headlines, or did they write the title of the headline to get the most amount of traffic? Now, it got our attention. We got both of them, right? We loaded both of the same article, right? Same study. And it's kind of funny, to be honest with you, how the headlines make just a bit of difference in perception and may be able to sway what someone thinks. So what say you? Again, we've got some results at the end of the show that we'll talk about from some of our Akamai listeners here at Geek News Central. Now, Zoom, oh boy, you know, they keep stepping, they just keep walking into a pile of poop. Every time, they just can't get it right. Zoom admits it doesn't have 300 million users and it corrects a misleading claim. Zoom has admitted it doesn't have 300 million active users. The admissions came after The Verge noticed the company had quietly edited a blog post making the claim earlier this month. Zoom had originally said it had more than 300 million daily users and that more than 300 million people around the world are using Zoom during this challenging times. Zoom later deleted those references from the original blog post and now claims 300 million daily Zoom meeting participants. So the difference between a daily active user and a meeting participant is significant. Daily meeting participants can be counted multiple times. So if you have 5 Zoom meetings in a day, then you're counted 5 times. Today, for me, 4. So I was a 4 today myself. A DAU is counted once per day and is commonly used by companies to measure service usage. Only counting meeting participants is easy, somewhat misleading way to make the platform usage seem larger than it is. Now, last I checked, Zoom's a public company. So making it a mission like this could potentially, how should we say it, cause your stock to go up. And it's an easy little mistake. But we'll see. We'll see if the SEC calls them out or if they find out that someone bought stock that morning, published the article, sold the stock the next day, changed the article. We'll see what happens with Zoom, 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 Zoom. So time will tell. Well, pandemic be damned. Apple's reported second quarter results. Apple did announce the financial results for its fiscal 2020 second quarter ended on March 28th, 2020. The company posted quarterly revenue of $58.3 billion, an increase of 1% from year over quarter, and quarterly earnings per diluted share of $2.55, up 4%. International sales accounted for 62% of the quarter's revenue. Despite COVID-19's unprecedented global impact, we're proud to report that Apple grew for the quarter, driven by an all-time record in services and a quarterly record for wearables, said Tim Cook. In this difficult environment, our users are depending on Apple products in renewed ways to stay connected, to form creative and productive. We feel motivated and inspired to not only keep meeting these needs in innovative ways, but to keep giving back to support the global response. How much have they given? How much have they given back? They say from the tens of millions of face masks and custom-built face shields, which I think they've sold, to the millions we've donated to organizations like Global Citizen and American Food Fund. So they earned. We also generated operating cash flow of $13.3 billion during the quarter, up $2.2 billion over a year ago. Apple's board of directors declared a dividend of 0.82. The board of directors authorized an increase of $50 billion to existing share repurchase program. So they made a pile of cash. How about $1 billion there, Apple? Why don't you throw $1 billion out on the table for a donation? $1 billion, now you'd get my respect. A couple million, that's just a rounding error. Amazon reports $75.5 billion in quarter one 2020 revenue. Amazon Web Services up 33%, subscriptions up 28%, and other up 44%. This is a massive quarter for Amazon. Just wait till their quarter two comes out. Amazon today reported earnings for its first fiscal quarter of 2020, including revenue $75.5 billion, net income of $2.5 billion, and earnings per share of $5.01, compared to revenue $59.7 billion and net income of $3.6 billion, earnings a share of $7.09 in Q1 2019. North American sales were up 29% to $46.1 billion, while international sales grew 18% to $19.1 billion. Analysts had expected Amazon to earn $73.61 billion in revenue and report earnings of $6.25. So everyone's out of business, but Amazon is, woohoo, let's go and make some money. So you can't buy from anybody else. You can go to Walmart. Ugh. You go to a local grocery store, which is good, or you buy from Amazon. Everyone else is locked up. Yes, locked up. Think about that for a minute. The biggest retail outlets in America are allowed to be open, operating for business, yet mom and pop shops that you may or may not use are locked up and closed down. So if I can go into Walmart and go to their furniture section and buy a table or a TV or a battery for my car or clothes or groceries or personal hygiene items or just about everything else in most states, garden supplies, lawnmowers, weed whackers. If I can buy that from Walmart, why in the hell can I not buy that from my steel chainsaw guy down the street? Why can't I pick up personal hygiene items at a small store that sells a variety of items? Why are those stores forced to be closed? And yet Walmart and all these stores are open. It's a big question I have here as I'm driving around. I'm like, why aren't they open? They sell stuff I can buy at Walmart. They sell stuff I can buy at Myers. They sell stuff I can get at Best Buy. How come I can't buy it there? They sell the same thing. that another store sells, and they're and yet those small businesses are not allowed to open, that I could get some of the stuff that old Jeff Bezos is selling on Amazon that they've taken 2 to 3 weeks now to deliver. And they made 70, how much is it again? 75.5 billion dollars in net income. There's something wrong. There's something wrong with this whole situation. Okay, so listen to this one. This is fantastic. Mother's Day's coming, right? You guys remember that, right? Mother's Day's coming. State of Hawaii has authorized flower shops to open for a period before Mother's Day, but then they have to close after. Who made these governors God? I don't understand it. We know the rules. We know the rules. Social distance, wear a mask, wash your hands. I can go to Walmart, but I can't go to a retailer literally within eyesight of where I'm sitting right now. Walmart's allowed to be open, and that retailer's not, because they probably don't carry a gallon of milk in their store or something stupid. I don't understand. I really, are you not questioning this? I don't, if you want to stay home, stay home. Stay home. Don't come out. Jeff and company has everything you need. You can order from Amazon. You have Walmart deliver your groceries. Stay home. I'm good with that. I'm good. You want to stay home? Stay home for the rest of the year. It's fine. Stay home. But these businesses are dying. And yet, Amazon, you look at you will watch the earnings reports from Walmart, all these grocery chains, everyone that's, but then watch all these businesses in your area fall over. I don't get it. It's been long enough. I understand the first month we were kind of like, everyone's was worried. Some of you, obviously you're in New York or in these high density areas, you need to kind of like be cool too. But why can't a store be open if they're following the rules? I don't understand. So Jeff Bezos, woohoo, he's gonna take his money to the bank. Now, all right, they're earning all this money. Why social stewards and people that are all about helping your neighbors and stuff, why are they not donating millions and millions of dollars to their local communities that they're in? Why are they not writing massive checks of charity to food banks and everything else? Why are they not? I challenge you to think about this seriously. And if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. Hey, I've ordered stuff from Amazon. Not going to lie, but I can't get it anywhere else. Can't get it anywhere else. I needed a chainsaw accessory that's sold by a certain brand. The brand of that chainsaw store is closed. I can't go to that store and get that accessory. The only way I could get it was to go online and get it. Instead of supporting my local dealer, I had to go buy it from the national chain. It's not the same. Because I know if I probably look in that guy's window, he's got what I need. I could probably see it from the window, but he's closed. Because we can't be safe. We can't be trusted. Twitter quarter one sales up 3% to $808 million. But, hey, don't let a good thing go to waste here, right? The ad-based social network said the company in quarter one made $808 million in revenues, up 3% on a year ago. with monetizable daily active users on Twitter's own metric for measuring its audience grew 24%. They said Twitter usage is way up. An all-time high, adding 14 million average MDAU since Q4 and 32 million since quarter one. However, operating income for the quarter swung to a loss of $7 million, working out to a net margin of negative 1%, diluted earnings per share of a penny. So they earned more than the street figured they were going to earn, but they lost more than the street figured they were going to earn. So, yep, it's difficult times over at Twitter. Yet, no one's got nothing to do but to tweet. And a little more exciting news. I'm on a rocket ship tonight. Come on. NASA picks SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Dynetics to create landers to take men and women to the moon. So, isn't this interesting? So, anyway, they've been chosen to build three lunar landing systems that can take humans to the surface of the moon. The three companies will work on the designs over the next year, and eventually NASA will select one lander to take the first woman and the next man to the lunar surface. These landers are a critical part of NASA's Artemis program, the space agency's initiative to send humans back by 2024. We're going to need some good news, right? With all this stuff going on, back to the moon we go. And for the last decade, of course, NASA has been developing a giant deep space rocket known as the Space Launch System and a crew capsule called Orion to take people into deep space. The biggest missing piece of the equation was the lander to take humans down to the moon. The contracts are worth $967 million combined, though the companies will put some of their funds will put in some of their own funds for development, and they will last 10 months as the companies refine their design. So I wonder if they have to build one or just provide them a blueprint. Mars Horizon, listen to this. You got some time on your hands. Now, I know you're going to build a website using my GoDaddy promo code, but you want to have some fun? Mars Horizon. It's in beta. It lets you command your own space agency, but you got to act fast. Now, listen, because if you're listening to this show in the morning of May 1st, you still have time. Mars Horizon, a space agent simulator game, launched a free beta this week, and you can sign up by joining a mailing list that's in the link in the show notes. The deadline to join ends May 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern. So the new game, called Arc Digital, was published by the Irregular Corporation, puts you in command of your own space program. You can choose NASA, Russia, and the European Space Agency with the goal of dominating space with trips to orbit the moon and beyond. So I don't know how cool it is, but the promo video is pretty cool. So definitely check it out. And anyway, Mars Horizon, available, the free one. So I'm actually going to click on the mailing list here and have that to sign up for when I get done with the show. I don't know what has quite happened here, but again, I want everyone to listen very carefully. How many pictures you got on Facebook? Have any clue on how to get them off? Facebook is letting users of the United States and Canada move the media to Google Photos. There's a data portability tool that are rolling out to users today. So you can transfer your photos and videos to Google Photos thanks to this new data portability tool. The feature is part of the Data Transfer Project, an agreement between Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter to simplify data transfers. It's meant to make it easier to move information between services so that users aren't locked into one program. Now, they introduced this tool late last year, and it's already available in several other countries. It's rolling out to users in the U.S. and Canada today to transfer your photos. There's a simple instructions here on here to do. And this is awesome. Now, I don't know if the photos come off Facebook or not, but this is a chance for you to take all those pictures you put on Facebook for all the years, including all the stupid stuff maybe you put on there too, and move them to your Google Photos account. So at least you have them in a place that is not locked in to this network, to the social media platform that is shaping the message you receive and rotting your brains every day. And I say this, and we're all streaming live on Facebook. The irony, right? Total irony. How many of you watched Space Odyssey? Classic, right? Remember Hal? He said, "I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that." Well, that AI, or any AI, is now still lagging behind in humans. Yeah, probably we've got AI injected into us. AI still lags humans in reading emotions. A research team led by Dublin City University looked at 8 out-of-the-box automatic classifiers for facial effect recognition, artificial intelligence that can identify human emotions on faces and compare their emotion recognition performance to that of human observers. Now, this is what I find totally fascinating. The research found that the human recognition accuracy of emotion was 72%. Where among artificial intelligence tested, the researchers observed a variance in recognition ranging from 48 to 62. How? Okay. I'm looking quite incredulous at the camera right now. I'm giving a wide-eyed, surprised look at the camera right now. How can a human only get it right 72% of the time? I'm a little baffled on that. So considering a human was only 72% accurate, and I'd love to see the definition of how they figured that out. So the study involved 937 video samples from 2 large databases that covered the basic 6 emotions. Now, here's a little psychology lesson for you. Here are the 6 emotions: happiness, sadness, anger, fear, surprise, and disgust. So happiness, that's pretty easy, right? Sad, we can see when we're sad. We can see when we're angry. Fright is a fear, is a reaction. Surprise, probably those two are the closest together. And disgust. So 6, that's the 6 emotions we have. Happiness, sadness, anger, fear, surprise, and disgust. So I think I could probably easily see happiness, sadness, anger, and disgust. So probably, depending on the context, fear and surprise might be the hardest ones. But anyway, 2 well-known dynamic facial expression databases were chosen from the Binghamton University in New York and the other from the University of Texas in Dallas. Both are annotated in terms of emotion categories and contains either pose or spontaneous facial expressions. All of the examined expressions were dynamic to reflect the realistic nature of human facial behavior. And yet, the human can only get it right 72% of the time. Doesn't that tell you something? Kurt says, looking at the other half, 72%. So anyway, your AI still really can't tell if you're smiling half the time or if you're sad or, you know, angry and wanting to smash it with a hammer. I guess there has to be some sort of other act that goes on. We have to quit relying on artificial intelligence to do this kind of stuff, because the next thing they're going to do is you're going to approach Walmart after being pissed off from a phone call, and you're going to get flagged at their, "Sir, sorry, you're angry. You cannot come into the store. You have to go over here and take a 15-minute timeout. And when you calm down and your expression shows that you're not angry anymore, we will allow you into the store." You don't think that's not coming? You don't think that they're not going to react to our expression and say, okay, track the, hey, bald male suspect has just entered the store, pissed off. Please put a camera on him. You don't think they're not going to do this to us? If you don't, if you think not, please, please, you're listening to the wrong show. No, they're not going to pull you off the side, but I guarantee you they're using that to watch people. We already know they're watching people. We already know that they're profiling. But yeah, I know somebody that works pretty high up in Target's security department. Target has a security department that in Las Vegas that is the FBI kind of marvels at it for theft prevention and everything else. You would have no, I just out of confidence to him and things he told me, you would have no idea the lengths stores go to prevent theft, which I don't blame them, and the technology that they use. And I guarantee you they're going to be looking at AI and looking at your mood when you go into a store. Now, from a humanity standpoint, we're pretty lucky here. I love this title. Our sun is weirdly a quiet star, and that's lucky for all of us. Thank your lucky stars that the sun is pretty weird, as scientists have learned by comparing its activity with other similar stars. In a new research, astronomers compared the brightness of our sun over time with data gathered from other stars by the NASA Kepler Space Telescope and by the European Space Agency's Gaia star mapping mission. The result is that our sun, as compared to stars of about the same size, you know, a sun is a star, right? Okay, so just making sure we're clear on that. Comparing our star to other stars, our sun's brightness variance is significantly less, suggesting that it's calmer. Now, calmer, what does that do for us? Well, if our sun wasn't so calm, we might not be here. And they also looked at what the sun was doing before they were able actually to record anything. Somehow, they went at looking at specific, now we talked about reading rings on a tree, right? Scientists have been able to look at specific elements in tree rings and ancient ice. And with those aids, researchers have constructed estimates of the sun activity going back 9,000 years. Now, I don't know of any 9,000-year-old trees. Can someone do a lookup on that? I didn't think there was any of those that existed, but I know there's old ice. But that doesn't mean those 9,000 years are representative of course, our sun's 4.6 billion years of existence. But at least for the last 9,000 years, which is a blink in time, our star's been pretty quiet. And I guess we can be thankful for that. Otherwise, it would probably be hot as hell here and enough to take care of this pandemic we're having. Oh, the WHO. Oh, my goodness. What do you think about the WHO? I'll just leave it at that. Geeknews@gmail.com. What do you think of the WHO? You think they're responsible? Do you think they screwed up? Do you think they covered up? What do you think? Where do you lay on this one? Leaked WHO CDC passwords likely spread by U.S. conspiracy theorists. Of course. The email login information appears to be from a breach data first put out in 2016. A person in the United States who prompted conspiracy theories is likely the source of nearly 25,000 leaked email addresses and passwords. For employees of public health organizations helping fighting the novel coronavirus, according to a report Wednesday from Site Intelligence Group, an organization that tracks extremist activity around the world, and said it couldn't identify the person, probably a 13-year-old in a basement board, but the addresses and passwords appeared to come from a breached data first posted on the internet in 2016. What do you bet it came from a 13-year-old in a basement somewhere? Some extremist. Oh, you just never know. Say, what is this? A CNET looking for traffic. As Uber drivers get COVID-19, the company offers free vital health screenings. The ride-hailing company partners with telemedicine service Roe to help drivers figure out if they may have been infected with the coronavirus. So does that mean every time you take a Uber ride, the app is tracking you? Uber's aiming to make it easier for drivers to figure out if they've been infected, the disease caused by novel coronavirus. The ride-hailing company said Thursday it's partnering with telemedicine service Roe to give free assessments. I'm looking here. So how do they know they came in touch with someone? That's what triggered me here a little bit. Figure out if they've been, to make it easier for drivers to figure out if they've been infected. Well, they don't say anything about tracking, but it makes you wonder. Makes you, if anytime you get an Uber or order food, if they're tracking who's coming to your house or who is, what car you're in. And then if you come up with this stuff, is that tracked back? One would wonder, huh? But anyway, Uber's drivers can get telemedicine help. The Apple iPhone 12 will cost $649 if this major leak pans out. That would be huge. The iPhone 12 Pro, of course, will start at $999. So that's a rumor. Now, this person is, has accurately leaked pricing information before, so that could be a little bit of an information here, and they've got more pricing in the tweet that's linked up in the show notes. Hey, if you're watching on Facebook today, make sure you check in and say hello. Want to know you're here. Don't be shy. Say, hey, Todd, I'm watching this fantastic podcast. Of course, I want to thank Curtis for checking in. Hey, how you doing, shipmate? The BBC saying drone to door medicine trials take flight in Ireland. So Mana Aero is working with health service executive to deliver medicine and other essential supplies to vulnerable people in a small rural town of Moneygal. The company trial uses autonomous drone made in Wales, and it was looking at the possibility of testing in the UK within weeks. The UK has already announced a test of drones to carry supplies to the Isle of Wight during the pandemic. So, awesome. Hey, by the way, those of you that listen to the show down in Florida, you know, you guys are opening back up down there. You know, if I needed a haircut, I might actually come down to Florida to get one. But it's amazing. It's amazing how they said Florida would be the place where millions of people would be getting coronavirus because you're all out together. Well, it didn't work out. I know a lot of people got sick and died. Don't get me wrong, but glad to see you open up down there. Anything to do with the heat? And what is it, the villages? That's an interesting story. They thought that would be a pandemic as well. Hasn't been so far. Time will tell. Comcast. Oh, you guys love this company, right? You remember who Comcast is? You know, the one that owns NBC? Well, Comcast struggles as theme parks, movie, and sports suddenly disappear. Did you know Comcast has that type of stuff? All of Comcast divisions are feeling the impact of the coronavirus lockdown. It's not as if they've got good TV. With theme parks and movie theaters closed and major sporting events canceled, there were few parts of Comcast business that didn't feel the impact. And the company's exec said Thursday that they don't expect to see a whole lot of improvement for the second quarter. But don't get me wrong here. We're dealing in figures in B's. Comcast posted revenues of $26.6 billion for the first quarter, a 0.9% decline year over year, of net income, listen to this, of $2.1 billion. They still made $2.1 billion and a 40% drop from the year ago. Basically, there was less for viewers to watch, and that means less programming from Comcast to run ads against. How is that possible? The quarter one results, well, maybe no one's watching NBC. The quarter one results reflect audience ratings declines and reduced advertiser spending resulting from the postponement of sporting events due to COVID-19, partially offset by higher pricing, Comcast said in a statement. The company's NBC Universal segment struggled the most during the first quarter. Boy, it just breaks my heart when these kinds of companies have trouble. With a 7% revenue decline to $7.7 billion, Comcast said last week that many of the shows it planned for the new Peacock streaming service wouldn't be ready until next year. Oh, and they made a disclosure here. Disclosure, Comcast and NBC Universal are investors in Vox Media, the parent company of The Verge. So I don't think Comcast has that many friends out there. You know, be honest with you, the way they've screwed people over. And I think I've actually got a story here about, let me find that. Okay, so Cry Me a River, right? Listen to this. So we talked about Comcast losing money. Let me put some, got a little ice cream out there, put it in the bowl, put a little chocolate. I'm going to start stirring it up here. I'm going to stir the pot a little bit, right? We'll make a milkshake. Listen to what these individuals did. Comcast, yes, the same company we just talked about, overcharged elderly couple $600 and denied refund until contacted by Ars Technica. Good for you, Ars Technica. When the batter, B-A-D-R, batter's grandparents moved from one house to another in April 2018, they had one simple request for Comcast. They wanted the cable company to transfer their internet-only plan to the new address with no changes to services or price. Batter, I guess it's the individual, who helped manage his grandparents' account, thought everything had gone smoothly. We asked to move the exact same service we had in place, just internet. The customer service rep sent us a text message to confirm, and we confirm, he told ours via email. But, the grandparents' internet service traveled to new hosts in Orland Park, Illinois, and the bill remained roughly the same at about $53 a month, at least for a while. It wasn't until much later that he realized what had actually happened. The Comcast rep had matched the old bill on the monthly cost, but added a streaming TV service that his grandparents didn't request and never used. The TV service was essentially free for the first year under the promotional deal, but after that year was up, the bill doubled. The overcharges continued unnoticed and eventually add up to more than $600. So basically, the billing was on autopay, was on the credit card statement, and Muhammad, 87, and Blanca, 73, didn't even realize they had Comcast TV service. So, obviously, they tried to get a refund. And they didn't realize they'd been overpaid for almost a year. Got to understand this, older people, whatever, maybe it was missed. I can see how this could happen. Well, until they had a little press, had a little press from the press. So don't feel bad for Comcast for losing money. We know that Comcast misbehavior has been reined in a little bit by some states. We know that Comcast had to pay $700,000 in 2018 in refunds and canceled debts for more than 20,000 customers. Don't forget that. We don't forget, in June 2019, a King County Superior Court ruled Comcast violated Washington State consumer protection laws more than 445,000 times. They were ordered to refund 50,000 customers and pay a $9.1 million fine. And of course, again, in January 2020, Comcast agreed to issue refunds in Minnesota to 15,600 customers and canceled the debts of another 16,000 that it lied to. So don't feel bad for Comcast. If you're a Comcast employee, though, I do feel bad for you. It's not your fault that you work for such a horrible company. Oh, my gosh. I love doing this show sometimes. Okay. Tomorrow's May 1st. I don't even know this song. Probably if I heard it, I would know it. I'm sure we have a very large family of NSYNC listeners to this podcast. I know we do. It's probably your number one boy band, right? NSYNC makes it official on Spotify and Apple Music. It's gonna be May. That's the song that's playing really big on those services. Okay. It's going to be May, all right? From their 2000 album, it's going to be May. Is this a good song? I have no idea. I've heard some NSYNC music before, and I probably have tapped my foot to it or something, but why would this song just rank? Oh, my gosh. People are really, 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 really bored. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining the show. All right, Amazon, we talk about them a few more minutes. They do not like unions at all. I know some of you are union fans. That's great. If you are, congratulations. I come from a family that runs businesses, and you know, I probably consider myself anti-union, but I have a whole bunch of aunts and uncles and stuff that are, you know, hardcore union fans. Don't get me wrong. It is what it is, right? And probably if I was working for a business that had a union, I'd probably make more money. It's okay. So we won't get political, but Amazon has locked down internal employee communications amid organizing efforts. So what they've done, Amazon is reportedly and suddenly enforcing rules limiting employees' internal communications as workers critical of the company's behavior become increasingly outspoken and organized. Internal listservs with more than 500 participants are now required to move to a moderated model where a manager must approve any content before its distribution according to emails attained by RE code. Amazon has almost 800,000 total employees worldwide, a number that does not include the recent addition of 175,000 temporary warehouse and delivery workers. So those hundreds of thousands of employees are used thousands of internal listservs to talk among themselves about basically anything. That anything of late includes many criticisms of Amazon. The company has faced both internal and external reproof for its management of warehouses, blah, 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 blah. And we know Amazon's fired someone for trying to organize. So, okay, Amazon employees. I'm going to give you a little advice. Google has this thing called Google Groups. It's this really great application where you can do mailings back and forth between each other. You have a mailing list. This show, the Geekness Central podcast, uses a one-way mailing list from a Google Group system to be able to send the emails for the show notes for this show. So those of you signed up for the newsletter, I use Google Groups to send you that email. So if Amazon is limiting your groups to 500 people, there is this thing outside called the internet with lots of options to organize, and you guys get your act together. You can have 500,000 people in a Google group, good luck managing it, that will be able to have all the discussions in the world that you would ever want. So there's your tip of the day. Now, Amazon employees that are listening to this show that are trying to organize, please, 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 that consulting that I just gave you is worth at least a single $25 donation to the show. Yeah, so they're controlling the messaging going in within the company's listservs, but there's nothing they can do to control any conversation happening out. I would advise you not to use your work email, though. That may end badly. USB 4, this is fantastic, will fully support DisplayPort 2, including 8K HDR monitors. The DisplayPort Alt Mode 2.0 can transmit up to 80 gigs per second and should appear in 2021. So that's pretty awesome that it's going to support DisplayPort 2. And we'll work with speed-hungry devices like none of us can afford, those 8K 60 hertz HDRs. yeah. You want to send one over? Take it as a donation for sure. So anyway, we'll see what happens there. But USB 4 will fully support DisplayPort number 2. Okay. There's a report out that smartphone production to drop 16.5% year over year in second quarter of 20, setting historical records in year over year decline. So what that's going to mean is there is going to be hellacious great deals to be found on phones of all makes and models a little bit later than this. Have you been seeing this too? Now, if you've got some disposable income, you need to be reading your junk mail. I get at least 100 emails a day on my geeknews@gmail.com address that advertises everything from audio gear to video equipment to lights. And, you know, I'm being very, very careful. I'm trying not to spend any money. I'm just being very conservative right now. But I sometimes see a deal come across. I'm like, I kind of almost whimper a little bit because It's something I really don't need, but it's a really, really good price. I mean, like, insane. Okay. I don't think I'm under NDA, but let me just share this with you. And we're far enough in the show. So I was demoed a product last year that it was a service, and I won't name the company's name. Really wanted it really bad. It's a great, I mean, it is a top tier, top of the shelf software application that does a certain purpose. And I'm not going to say what it is because my competitors will go out and buy it too, because some of them listen to the show. But anyway, that product for a 1-year subscription was $25,000. And I said, there's no way. I told the guy, I said, you're crazy. I can't justify that. I mean, compared to another product I was using that I was spending a fraction, I mean, a huge fraction of that. And so about a week ago, a new rep called me, said, hey, Todd, I see that you guys got a demo last year. Like to do another demo. I'm like, maybe it's time for a deal. So sure, let's take a look. Did the demo, same thing. I'm super impressed with it. Turned over to my marketing team and they all looked at it, super impressed. Got the sign off on all the team members and I took it to my board yesterday. Because when they sent me the proposal, still pretty high, it was $6,000 for the deal. I'm thinking, and I'm doing the math, how much, if I cancel the one service, how much I'm going to save. And I'm like, justified. I can justify this all day long. And I sold the board and they signed off. So I sent the guy an email back yesterday afternoon, said, hey, I've got board approval. Send me the contract. Like 5 minutes later, he said, hey, Todd, I've got even a better deal. We'll throw on a second year of the service for this much more. And I'm going to tell you, my eyeballs about popped out of my head when he told me how much the additional second year would cost. So I have a certain limit I can sign off on, but I just, you know, I'd already gotten the board to sign off on $6,000. So I picked up the phone and called my financial officer. I said, Barry, for a second year, we get it for this much. And he laughed on the phone. He said, why are you calling me? Why are you calling me? And I'm like, okay, call the guy. He said, okay, we're good. There are deals to be had. Now, it gets better. Got an email this afternoon. Contract was signed yesterday evening. Got an email this afternoon, and the individual said, listen, you pay the bill today. Today, you process it via a credit card today. We will give you this much more off. Now, maybe in 3 months, that company won't be around anymore. They will be. I know they are. They're a big conglomerate. But business is way down. And if you have something that you've been thinking about buying and you've got the budget for, this is a time to go shopping. If you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy, if there's certain stuff that you're going to buy right now, I'm telling you, it's a buyer's market right now. You have the opportunity. Trust me, something that you couldn't afford 6 months ago, all of a sudden might be within reach. So I sent it off an email to a service I use, or I have never used because I couldn't afford the annual service fee. And I said, hey, are you guys doing deals on service fees right now? I know they're not selling hardware. So they got to be looking for something. And I got an email back from the rep today. He says, yeah, maybe we can work a deal. What were you thinking? Not how much. What were you thinking? And I thought, should I go back with 75% off or 50? So I responded with a 75% off offer. Now the email hasn't come back. I'll let you know Monday how it went. So there are things you can get right now at a deal because everyone is cash starved. So if you have disposable income, you want to buy something, buy now. Or try to shop for it. See if you can get a deal on it. Told my sister to do the same thing. because there's a lot of stuff people want to sell. I got a Fortune magazine that won't, there it goes. Okay. So if that wasn't worth a $2 investment in this show, geeknesscentral.com Force Insider, I don't know what kind of advice I can even give you folks to make it valuable enough to become a $2 a month subscriber. Hey, Samsung Nationwide and GE just invested in an artificial intelligence startup called Nexar. So people are shopping. So Samsung's investment arms invested $52 million in Nexar, maker of software alerts drivers to road hazards like potholes and helps with auto insurance claims. Okay. Waze is now offering lane guidance in a beta. So that's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of, you know, here's the funny, Nir, I know you're listening. Now that I'm here in this local area where there's no traffic, I've used Waze once or maybe twice since I got back from Hawaii. It's like I've been on a highway somewhere, all of a sudden it comes to an end. I load it up, say what's going on and find out where the brake is. Otherwise, I don't use it. It's amazing when you don't live in a high density area, how all of a sudden the tools you're using every day become essentially useless to you. And of course, probably most of the driving conditions right now, it's useless as well. Microsoft is offering virtual graduations with up to 20,000 attendees. It's doubling Teams live events audience limits for schools until July 1st. You got to feel bad for these folks that are graduating college and high school and not being able to have their ceremonies. It's a milestone that many of us remember well. I remember graduating high school, and then it just equally as important graduating from college and getting my diploma and then getting my degree handed to me and all that stuff. So you got to feel bad for these folks not being able to celebrate that achievement. So I hope these school districts are able to do something for these students and, you know, socially spread, make them sit 6 feet apart, use the whole football field instead of half. Oh, this guy. I don't know if I want to talk about him. Representative Schiff wants Google and Twitter to use COVID-19 misinformation warnings. Representative Schiff wants Google and Twitter to use COVID-19 misinformation. What does that mean? One of the challenges to fight COVID-19 pandemic is curbing the spread of information from Google, YouTube, and Twitter. And each have taken steps to provide accurate info and remove false information. But the Congress said that's not enough. In a letter sent to CEOs of Alphabet, YouTube, and Twitter, Schiff said that ask companies to also notify users when they've interacted with coronavirus-related misinformation. Well, YouTube just took down two doctors' videos out in California. You know, again, own your own platform, ladies and gentlemen. Don't put stuff out there that these social media marketing places can take down. You, Geek News Central, we can't be taken offline. My media stays online. No one's taken. If they take me down on YouTube, oh well. I'm still here. You're still here. We're still listening. Yeah, that guy. Building blocks of life found in a famous Mars meteorite. And the organics contain nitrogen, another ingredient necessary for life as we know it. The famed Mars meteorite, Allen Hills 84001, contains 4 billion year old native organic molecules, the carbon containing building blocks of life as we know it, a new study says. And that's not all. The organics contain nitrogen, another ingredient Earth life depends on, and were found within the carbonate minerals, which usually form in groundwater. So the discovery adds to an emerging picture of a wet and potentially habitable Mars in the distant past. It's pretty amazing. If you think about it from a science perspective, they're able to get that info out of that meteorite that survived all the way to Earth. Excuse me. NASA budget cuts at Mars threatens crisis for Curiosity rover and prophylic orbiters. The Curiosity team may soon be forced into a difficult exploration decision. Budget cuts at NASA may force them to slam the brakes on the Curiosity rover just as it reaches highly anticipated home stretch. Of course, Curiosity landed inside Mars' 96-mile-wide, 154-kilometer Gale crater in August 2012. And so it's just climbed a huge mountain, essentially. And they're tight on money. So let me see, how much did they cut? The funding situation may make exploring the new and potential revelatory region tougher and more time-consuming. The White House 2021 federal budget allocates just $400 million to the mission, a decrease of 20% from the rover's current funding. And that current funding is 13% less than Curiosity got in the previous year. In 2021, request is passed by Congress as is. Curiosity's operations would have scaled back considerably. Running the mission with just $40 million in 2021 would leave about 40% of the science, or would leave unused about 40% of the science team capability. So what's going to happen here? We will see. Not enough money to go around because everyone else is getting cash. Google blocked and removed 2.7 bad ads last year. That's a lot. I'm not going to go into the story because it continues to talk about more stuff about COVID-19. And here's an interesting move. And this should make you think. And this is another Amazon story. Five of online retail giants Amazon foreign websites have been placed on a blacklist by the Trump administration. Its e-commerce platform in the UK, Germany, France, India, and Canada have been added to a notorious marketer's register. This really doesn't block the sites, but the U.S. Trade Representative Office said the sites facilitated the sale of counterfeit and pirated products. No kidding. Yes. Oh, have you been on Alibaba lately? Amazon said the move was politically motivated and it was invested heavily to prevent illegal sales. You may not have trouble buying stuff on U.S. Amazon that's fake, but try just logging into that site via a VPN via another country. The Trade Representative Office said that adding the Amazon site was the result of complaints from U.S. business over the sale of fake goods. I wonder if Alibaba is on that list. While the list carries no legal weight, it puts the spotlight on those companies included on it, especially when they are household names like Amazon. I'd like to see who else is on the list. So call me not surprised. All right. Even though Twitter lost money, they did see record growth thanks to COVID-19. All right. That's going to bring me to the end of the regular content. How about that? You guys like the show tonight? Hey, we're doing way good on time. The show's long tonight. We're going to have a record end. Jim says, the old man used to say unions are like box fans. If you stand in front of them, they blow. If you stand behind them, suck. If you stand beside them, they don't do a damn thing for you. Oh, that's funny. All right. So let me go and find the emails. Okay. Oh, where did it go? I had something that came in. Where is it at? Did I copy it to the wrong folder? Oh, there it is. Oh, my God. I thought we lost it. Okay. Chris Newman, longtime listener from the show. He says, Todd, interesting intro in this week's podcast summary about tracking. You should check out the interview with Dr. Rashid Buttar on LondonReal.tv. He covers a lot of interesting COVID information, some of which I find dubious, but much of what he says resonates. They have set up their own streaming platform as YouTube keeps removing videos. Aha! Yes, isn't it interesting? People are realizing that YouTube is not your friend. Interesting to see the news that the tracking app is voluntary. In Australia, if 40% of the population volunteer, if they don't, it will be mandatory, which is interesting. So it's really not voluntary, is it? Let me read that again. Listen. I know we have some Aussie listeners because you guys used to come on live all the time when I was in Hawaii. So do you know this? Interesting to see the news that the tracking app is voluntary in Australia, quote unquote, if 40% of the population volunteer. And if they don't, it will be mandatory, which is interesting. So it's not really voluntary, is it? Chris goes on to say it's it's nearing time to ditch the smartphone and go back to a dumb cell phone. He said, would be good if you mentioned the Signal messaging app, signal.org, to your audience. We know that WhatsApp, et cetera, are monitoring messages, while Telegraph seems a good option. It's not true E2E encryption. The only real free speech messaging app is Signal. Okay, so let me load that here that Chris had sent me. So Signal, say hello to a different messaging experience, an unexpected focus on privacy combined with all of the features you expect. So we'll have to investigate this more. You folks out there that are interested in privacy, Chris has been pretty straight up on this. Chris is a long, long, long time listener of the show. Very well versed in apps. So Chris, thanks for your comment on that. I got an email from Christian. Christian's a long time listener of the show as well. And thank you for allowing me to use your name on the show. Todd, regarding the topic of COVID app, it's a mixed product. Like you, I don't want to be tracked. However, if a government says you have to use it, there may not be a choice. For example, I don't travel much, but our family's been planning a trip to the UK this summer. It's still up in the air due to the lockdowns. We're scheduled for end of May. Oh, Chris, that's going to be tight. The UK is scheduled to reopen in May, but who knows with what catches. Could it be they say my family needs to have this app installed to verify we're safe to arrive? I may not want that app, but might not have a choice. The concept has a good purpose. It could be a very helpful tool to track the virus and perhaps lead to data that could help control it. Though, as you say, we're not trusting of the government or the corporations. Even if Apple, Google put safeguards in place to keep information confidential, all it takes is one leak, one oops, we forgot, or since users have forgotten about it, let's use the data for something else, like maybe political tracking. Any of these situations and good intent of the app is gone. Just my two cents. Now, Christian, here's the thing I think is going to happen. With the high number of cases in America being at 1 million, people don't do math very well, and they don't understand there's 300 some million people in this country. They are going to say, we are the most heavily infected country in the world, and because you're so infected, because you have such a number of high cases, if you come to our country, you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days. Don't think it can happen? They're already doing it in Hawaii. You go to Hawaii and visit Hawaii as a tourist, you got to quarantine for 14 days. You cannot leave your hotel room. Cannot leave your room. If I went back to Hawaii right now, today, I have a Michigan driver's license now. Even though I have a home in Hawaii, I would have to quarantine in my house in a room where I could have no contact to the other occupants of the house for 14 days. Think about that one. So if Hawaii is making you quarantine for 14 days as showing up as a guest, visitor, whatever your reason, they had 142 arrivals in Hawaii yesterday. So there's no way the UK, here's what, travel is screwed. You travel international, it's not happening. Maybe Christmas time, by then the second round's going to be going on. So international travel is done. D-O-N-E, done. Done, 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 done. You might get to the Caribbean or someplace like that, but you're not going to the UK. And if you do, you're going to have to quarantine. Oh, don't let me forget. You go over there and spend 14 days in quarantine and then spend a week going around if you got that much vacation time. Then you come home and guess what you got to do again? You got to quarantine 14 days once you come back. So you got to quarantine 14 days when you go, quarantine 14 days when you get back. That's not happening. No one's traveling international or no one's going to follow those rules. In Hawaii, though, what they're doing, listen to this. Someone that arrived in Hawaii told us quarantine for 14 days in their hotel room. They left their hotel room and walked out on the beach. The hotel called the police on them, had them arrested, taken to the airport, and shipped back to America. Well, the lower 48. Hawaii is America. I'm sorry. deported them from Hawaii. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Oh, I had this wrong screen up forever. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Here in Michigan, I can finally mow the yard and not get arrested. Starting in a few days, the yard guy, I think tomorrow, the yard guys can start mowing yards. I think tomorrow we can actually buy garden goods again, starting tomorrow. But Home Depot, you only get 30 people in the store. You know how big Home Depot is. And they only can allow 30 people in the store. 30? I got in there the other night. I had to pick up a couple of things. And had about 30 minutes to spare. And I was running around. I had a fan to pick up and a wire brush. A couple of things. Just a couple of minor things. Like, you know, just bing, 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 bing. And I literally like walked as fast as I could from, and I didn't know what aisle the fans were in. I finally found them. Then I knew where the wire brushes were. I went and got a wire brush. I didn't even come down an aisle with other people. And there was 30 people in the store. It's like, oh, and good luck trying to get help. You know, looking around for the Home Depot dude that's, you know, that knows where the stuff is at. You know, wearing a mask and having my glasses fog up. Hey, has anybody figured the trick out on that yet? How to, because I'm doing like this, putting my glasses up in my head, and then my glasses are falling off and banging on the floor because I can't breathe without fogging up my glasses. I know some of you are in high threat areas. And I know you've got to stay safe. That's fine. Stay home. The rest of us, let's get the hell to work. Let's go. Come on. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I know some of you vehemently disagree with me. That's fine. Stay home. Stay home. So, all right, we're going to get off in here. I'm not going to do any call-ins tonight. Can't believe I've done this well with as much as I've been going here. Definitely looking forward to sleeping in on Sunday because I can't on Saturday because I'm going to have to work. But that's okay. You got to make hay when the sun shines, right? And I can't complain because my employees are working and we're taking care of content creators and getting business online so they can communicate with their customers. I hear true desperation on the phone every day talking to business owners. What can I do? I'm desperate. I've got to do something to get the word out, make people understand they can order curbside. I'm hearing it all, folks. I'm hearing these absolutely desperate business owners doing everything they can to get the word out about their businesses and making the public know you can come here and I will walk. You can open your trunk and we'll process your credit card over the phone. I'll put it in your trunk. We never have to have contact. Or come to the back of the building and I'll deliver it to you out the back door because I'm not supposed to be open. Be safe. I'll be back here with you on Monday. If you get bored and you want to watch the new media show, I'll be online Saturday at noon. And we'll be talking podcasting completely about what's happening in the space. We're doing two shows a week on that. So I'm doing Monday, this show, Wednesday, new media show, Thursday, Podcast Insider, Thursday night, this show, Saturday, doing again, the new media show. So I'm doing five shows a week right now, plus everything else that's going on. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but we're here for you. Be safe, be good. Thank you for being part of the family here. Don't forget to become an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. 6.7 cents a day gets you in there as supporting the show at $2, $5, $10, $15, or $20, or $25 a month. We do want to expressly show huge gratitude to our $25 a month donators. That is greatly appreciated. This month's bill to keep Geek News Central online will be about $1,000 between hosting bill, writing bill, executive producer bill, and everything that goes along. It's about a $1,000 bill to run Geek News Central and do, and not even including what rent is here and electricity and water. So just remember that. And I do want to thank you for your support of the show. And thank you for supporting GoDaddy as well. So again, we're not the New York Times, but we tell it a lot straighter than New York Times with a Todd's Soapbox, where you're always going to get my direct opinion, whether you like it or not. And I want to hear your opinion too. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Or take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for being here live with me too.